Hi class, after learning about the HR policies which are in line with the strategic goals of the organization, the various HR practices which again help the organization to achieve their goals, and the work design which is going to motivate the people, make them involved in the job that they are doing, and make them organization citizenship in a way so that they are going to be having high motivation to work to their utmost passion for the organization to achieve the organization's strategic goals. Well, when we are going to develop these HR processes, as we saw last time, there are going to be certain data generated, and these data one has to tabulate them, classify them, and one can use certain statistical techniques which is going to help us in finding out certain ratios, certain averages, what are the key process areas, key result areas, certain indicators, etc., which is going to help us in problem solving as well as in some of the decision making for HR. So let's understand this with the help of certain quantitative techniques which is going to help us in HR management. So our learning objectives will be to understand what we mean by quantitative techniques. We would understand the significance of various quantitative techniques that are available in statistics. We are going to find out the significance of these quantitative techniques in human resource management, and we are going to learn about various quantitative techniques used and their application in human resource management. However, whatever we use them as statistical techniques for our HRM, there are going to be certain limitations, so we'll also learn about certain shortcomings of these quantitative techniques while applying for HR management. So let's understand the definition of quantitative techniques. These are the tools and techniques which are based on quantitative data, that is numerical data, which provides us systematic and strong means of analyzing this data and draw certain inferences out of this for our decision making requirement. So these are statistical methods used for problem solving as well as decision making by the management. They are also methods involving use of numbers, symbols, mathematical expressions, other elements of quantities, and they are going to be complementary to the judgment and intuition of the decision makers. So we'll understand now what's the significance of these quantitative techniques. First and foremost, as seen in the definition, they are going to help us to enable decision making. Whenever we want to take any decision, there are going to be lot of data available. When we classify them, we tabulate them, we analyze them towards the right kind of problem solving requirement, and then from this we can make an inference what should be our right decision in this situation. So quantitative techniques are going to help us in decision making. Then to give ways and methods for scientific studies. What is science? Science is something which is protocol based, which is logic based, which is going to infer certain things from some of the hypotheses, which is helpful in research. So scientific research when we do, or certain scientific studies when we are going to do, we need certain quantitative data and certain tools and techniques to analyze these data in a proper way, whereby we can draw the right kind of inference and we can apply it in similar other situations, and that's how we can do certain experiments in a way, and from this we can get the results. So to give ways and methods for scientific studies, we need quantitative techniques, which are statistical techniques which we can use. Then comes to identify the optimal strategy. Well, as we have seen, the human resource management is going towards more and more to help the top management towards strategic goals achievement. So we should know what is the strategy the top management should adopt in certain situations, whether they should go for diversification, whether they should go for mergers and acquisitions, or whether they should go for downsizing, or whether they should go for the growth of certain products which have got the highest value and where the likelihood of their utilization in the external environment is going to be very high, or the new technology to be adopted based on the competency of our people, whether we will be able to adopt that or not. So to identify the optimal strategy, we need certain statistical techniques whereby we can have certain indicators which will help us in finding out the optimal strategy. Then to facilitate the appropriate allocation and deployment of various resources, be it man, be it machine, be it finance. So not only in HRM, but in allocation of all the kind of resources, these quantitative techniques are going to help us, and this will help us where to deploy the right amount of resources based on the weightage we can give, which can be found out by the statistical techniques or quantitative techniques. With the help of these quantitative techniques, we can definitely deploy the optimal resources, the optimal manpower for a particular requirement, whereby the minimum number of human resources can be utilized to the best of their efficiency, and even other resources can be optimally used, whereby overall we can minimize the cost, which is highly required in today's competitive scenario, where we are competing in the global market rather than in the local market, which was the earlier scenario. These techniques can also help us in finding out certain ways in which we can improve the efficiency of the job performance of our employees. And it is also helpful in measuring the effectiveness of various systems that we develop for various processes in the organization, and hence we can optimally use all these resources to improve the profitability and improve the motivation of our most important resource, and that is our employees. So let us understand how quantitative tools can add value to human resources. First and foremost, by using these quantitative tools, we can standardize the manpower by finding out, say by work study, time study, etc., to find out efficiently when our human resources are going to work to achieve the result, we can actually optimally use them and standardize manpower for how much work, how many manpower will be required, and that's how we can create and execute the manpower control models. It is also going to help us in our cost cutting efforts, because when we set up the cost management programs using various statistical techniques to identify where cost can be contained and controlled in the organization. Which are the areas where one can optimize the efficiency of various resources so that the cost can be contained and controlled. It also helps us in HR cost budgeting by right kind of manpower planning and utilizing the human resources at the right place by helping them by various training and development programs to learn about multi-skills, and hence wherever in another some department if we don't have adequate order, then because we have got multi-skilled employees, we can utilize them in other department as well, and we need not employ new employees for that, or we need not give overtime to the existing employees. Rather than we can utilize the balanced manpower from other department who may not be having enough of work, and hence overall when we are going to optimally use the various HR resources in various departments, definitely it is going to help us in HR cost budget. Then comes key process indicators. By these techniques we can find out certain key process indicators which help us to find out whether the processes that we have developed for HR and other areas, are they functioning in the right way and we are getting effectively the results we want and even efficiencies achieved or not. So that helps us in key performance indicators where it is going to track the progress of the employees and managers towards achievement of the goals of the department. In turn, it will help us in achieving the strategic goals of the organization. It also helps in rewarding, in rewards as a management policy. So what kind of rewards to be given to the high performing managers also will be identified by these statistical techniques, and it will help us in motivating our managers. Benchmarking is getting the ideal kind of policies and practices which are best among the industries outside also, so one can compare by doing various surveys and benchmark our performance against the best performance of our own organization in some other department or in past or in some other organization as well. So this is how quantitative tools are going to help us. Then we can find out what will be our manpower demand and supply by these techniques which we have already learned when we learned about manpower planning, where we could forecast the manpower demand by various techniques in the form of say ratio analysis, trend analysis, regression analysis and various other techniques where we can even do exactly what are the number of people going to retire, what is our employee turnover rate, what is the demand of it for the future based on the succession planning required, etc., etc., and even we can forecast what will be the supply based on our competent people who can be promoted, who can be transferred to other department or who can be given the right kind of training so that they can take care of those by getting new skills which are required for performance for certain work in the organization. And even we can find out certain ratios and trends in the labor market and in other organizations, and that's how we can find out the supply forecasting which is going to help us for manpower planning in our organization. These techniques also help us in human resource information services, which will be very useful because here information technology and the HR management, they are going to combine their resources to develop the best softwares so that we can perform all the activities in our HR department in a very smooth manner, accurately, without duplicating some of the works which were earlier being done manually. It will save a lot of space, and as such we know that the property rates are growing by leaps and bounds, and hence it is very difficult for us to have large offices and large storeroom to store certain personal records and other things, and that also, if they are not filed properly, if they are removed once in a while for some reason, and if they are not kept back, again it will be very difficult for us to retrieve those things. So HRIS is going to help us in a great way to have the accurate data without any duplication, which will reduce the manpower required for various HR functions also, and so we can have lean and mean, you can say, the human resources for the organization, which can help us in cost cutting as well as optimally using human resources, and we can get the best of the results out of that. At the same time, it is also going to help us for our legal requirement, where all the data will be easily available at the click of a button, and anything needed by the factory inspector, etc., or any other legal requirement in the case of the legal cases that are against the company, which has been there through some other customers or through their own employees, etc., one can get all the data very easily. By these quantitative tools, we can have absolute accuracy in various measurements, and we can even validate the various selection tools we are using in the form of, say, written test and the performance test and personality test, etc. So one can find out whether the tools that we are using for selection, hiring being a very, very important function of HR, and various tools are being used for this purpose. So we can validate these selection tools very nicely with these quantitative tools, and accordingly our hiring process will be very, very effective, and we can hire the right people for the organization. So let us understand what are the various common quantitative techniques that are being used in human resource management. The first and foremost will be naturally collection and presentation of data. One has to collect a lot of data for any kind of HR function, be personnel record. So in that we'll have to collect his personal biodata like thing, his competencies, his qualification, his experience, his past performance, his salary increments, the appreciation given to him in various years, the rating of his performance appraisal, etc., etc. So various kinds of data will be required to be collected for our human resources. Similarly, it is also going to help us in presentation of this data for our middle manager, senior managers, or even the top management, or for the legal purpose if required, to tabulate this data systematically, to analyze it, to present it in such a way that whatever significant data required by that particular level of manager or by the legal authorities, it is given to them in the right format, so that it gives an important data to them from which they can infer their required decisions and take the right decisions for the organization and have the right kind of strategic goals for the organization based on this data. Then comes diagrammatic or graphical representation of the data. So when we are going to draw the diagram in the form of bar chart or pie chart, or when we can graphically show on x-axis one variable and on y-axis another variable to see whether they are dependent on each other, whether they are directly dependent or they are inversely dependent, or whether there is no dependence between the two, we can find out from this graphical representation. We can have the histogram, etc. also. Similarly, measures of central tendency or location will help us in many ways by finding out what is the mean, median, mode, or the standard deviation or the variance in the data, whether there is a skew kind of variation or whether it's a normal distribution, etc. Then measures of dispersion, which will help us in the standard deviation and other things. We can sample the whole of the population which is a representative of the population, and deduce certain data from that to find out the qualities and quantities about these population as a whole, and certain key process indicators we can find out from this. We can have a relationship analysis in the form of linear relation or parabola or normal distribution and all that. We can have a ratio in the form of, when we are comparing the two data, say compa ratio, where the compensation given by your organization and the compensation given by other organization is compared, or between the two departments it can be compared, etc. So various kinds of ratios are important for us to compare and help us in taking various decisions in human resource management. So we'll go into some details about all these kinds of data which we are collecting. So collection and presentation of data. Collection of data will help us in survey. Will be collection of data can occur by survey or questionnaires given to the employees. So we can have a compensation survey done. We can have a job satisfaction survey done to find out whether the employees in our organization are having satisfaction of the job or not. Or certain questionnaires may be given to them, which when they answer, we can deduce from that what is the job satisfaction percentage in our employees, or whether they are happy with our compensation and fringe benefits that we are offering them, or there are some suggestions which we can deduce from their answers and then we can work on it. Similarly, there is an interview method where one-to-one they may be contacted, the employees may be contacted, and they may be asked certain questions which have been developed by the experts, and the clarification of these questions, if the employees have not understood about them in the proper perspective, can be made in interview method. Other ways, we can mail the questionnaire to email and people can answer them, but however, many people do not answer such questionnaire. They just delete these things at times. Or even if they do it, then they are not doing it with full sincerity. One thing, if they have not understood the question, there is hardly any chance that they are going to ask the HR department to first understand the question and then answer it. Then we can do direct personal observation regarding, say, job analysis. When we are going to find out the job description, we can personally observe exactly what a person is doing and then develop the job description. And we can even have telephonic interviews which can be helpful for collection of the data in case we are not able to reach at each and every location personally. Once we have collected all these data by various methods as seen in the form of survey, questionnaire, interview method, mail questionnaire, personal observation, etc., etc., one can classify this data appropriately, one can tabulate them, one can scrutiny of the data is done, and then it is to be presented to the higher management or to the middle management or to the factory inspector, etc., based on their requirement and based on the significance of that data for that particular manager. We can do that kind of presentation in the form of PPT, or we can send a report whereby they can go through it and then give us the feedback about that. Well, while collecting data, there are certain terms which are used. One is frequency, that is number of times the same data is repeating. For example, suppose we are collecting the data of, say, height of the students in a class. Suppose we have got 60 students and we go on measuring the height of all the students. Say, the height will vary from 4 feet 8 inches to, say, around 6 feet 2 inches. Then we go on writing down how many students are having 4 feet 8 inches, how many are having 4 feet 9 inches, how many are having 4 feet 11 inches, 5'1", 5'2", 5'3", like that. And then we can draw the frequency in the form of say 4-8 were 2 students, 5-2 were 3 students, 5-7 were say 10 students, like that we go on doing this kind of frequency. While certain cases these things may not be distinct and there is a overlap of these, then we can have class intervals and we can have frequency distribution there in the form of say height, or in the form of, suppose it's a money and a certain product, we can say that between this range to this range you can get this kind of product, between this range to this range you can get this kind of product sale. 1000 to 1200, these are the products. 1200 to 1400, these are the products. Like that we can have frequency distribution also. So that's how we can collect the various data. Then is the diagrammatic or graphical representation of the data. There can be line diagrams or bar diagrams, which are suitable for discrete variables. For example, for certain period, what was the, this is the time period, or this is the place where people are doing. Suppose there is a marathon race and we say that against the time, the number of people who have achieved the achievement line where they are supposed to reach, that's completion of that marathon race. So we can have that kind of line diagram, variable on one side x-axis, the other variable on the other side, and draw. This will help us in finding out the overall, what is the position of the people, how fast they can run and all that. Or there can be bar diagram, which will be a solid bar like thing which we can see against the time, that in 1 hour say 10 people have achieved this reaching line. So the bar will go up to 10. In 1 hour and 30 minutes, 15 people have achieved that. So the bar will go up to 15. So this has been, Gantt has found out this kind of bar chart, and which is helpful in many places. So one can have line and bar diagrams which will be suitable for discrete variables, which are basically based on either the period or the place or the time. Then comes histogram, where the distribution with continuous variables or continuous classes are there. In that case, one can draw the histogram, which will be, these bars will be continuous from one to other. Pie chart is something where we are drawing the circle that is 360 degree, and we are breaking up the components in percentage, how much percentage of this is there. So suppose we say diversity in the department of say 100 people, there are say 60 people who are Indian, 20 people who are Americans, 10 people who are Russians, 5 people who are Pakistani, 5 people who are Bangladeshi. So we can draw this in the form of a pie chart, and this will give us overall a clear picture about what is the percentage of people who are there in our department based on their diversity. Similarly, there are line graphs where two variables, one is independent variable on x-axis and dependent variable on y-axis, can be there. And this line graph, there may be relation between the two. So we are going to learn that in the later period. Then comes frequency polygon, where it is formed by joining the midpoints of all rectangles of a histogram, and frequency distribution curve, which can be either normal or it can be skewed. When it is normal, we say it's going to be a bell-shaped curve. Usually it's proportional to the other thing, while in a skewed, some of the observations are going to be far from the on an average whatever observations we get. So this will help us in identifying what kind of frequencies we are getting, and which will give us the inference what to do about this kind of chart what we have drawn, and we can infer for taking certain decisions on this. So if we see normal distribution, which is considered to be the standard distribution where equal number of values will be there on both the sides of the mid-range, that is mean or the modal value, and mean, median and mode, all three will be identical in this case. And around this modal value, many statistical tests have been devised. While the skewed distribution, here the top of the curve will be either displaced on the right or on the left. When the total number of values on either side of this mode is not equal, in such a distribution, values of the mean, mode and median are not going to coincide, they are going to be different. And these curves can tell us how the trend is overall going in the future.